Thank you very much. Genesis chapter 43 this morning. Genesis chapter number 43. This is our Old Testament book that we're studying through together. We've come to Genesis chapter 43. Let me ask this question. How many of you all are interested in Bible prophecy? Would you raise your hand? You're interested in Bible prophecy. You do not want to miss the message tonight. Trust me, you do not want to miss the message tonight. I repeat, you do not want to miss the message tonight. Bible prophecy emphasized in the book of Matthew in our evening service. Genesis chapter 43, verse number 1. The famine was sore in the land. It came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase. It's the title of my message this morning in verse number 2. It's the phrase, it came to pass. It came to pass. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Speak to our hearts. And as you have ministered to my own heart in my study, I pray that you help that to be evident here. Speak to these precious people as you spoke to me. And help me to do an accurate job. Help me not to leave out anything. Help me not to add anything. May every single word be the exact word that you'd have me to say, in the spirit that you'd have me to say it. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we travel through this book together, we've come to this chapter, chapter 43. What has happened is the Lord had spoken to Pharaoh through his dreams. Joseph interpreted the dream, saying there would be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of great famine. Now these words are in process of being literally fulfilled when we come to this chapter in chapter 43. The 7 years of plenty have come and gone, and now the famine was throughout the land, all the way through the earth. Joseph had shown great wisdom in the 7 years of plenty in gathering much food during those years, and now he was the one who had what the world now needed. In the previous chapter, we've already preached on it, you can go back and get it. We saw that Joseph's father heard about there being food that they desperately needed in the land of Egypt. He sent the brothers who had treated Joseph so badly and so wrong down to Egypt to buy corn. These brothers didn't realize it, but they were coming to get corn from Joseph, the one that they had sold into slavery over 20 years ago. No doubt that God was behind the scenes working. And when they got there, Joseph knew them. And he began to put them to the test. He tied up Simeon and put him into the prison and told the other brothers to go back home, take the corn they needed, but bring Benjamin, their youngest brother, which was his full brother, bring him back and he would give them freedom in the land. Now when they went back and told their father what had happened, if you remember, we've already preached on this, Jacob thought all these things were against him. But oh, if he only knew what he thought was against him was really God working behind the scenes to bring him to a wonderful blessing. Now as we come to this chapter, we see this famine is still in the land. I'm starting to feel pretty good right here. You know, it's rare when I study a chapter, it's rare when I'm typing the message out that I begin to weep and God floods over my soul. This is one of those messages that as I was typing this at my kitchen counter last evening, God flooded my heart and I began to see these thoughts. He began to minister to my heart. And what I want you to see is as we come to chapter 43, this famine is still in the land. God is still working in a mighty way. Traveling through this chapter, we see three major things coming to pass. It came to pass. We see three things that we can learn some great lessons through these thoughts. And I want you to ask the Lord this morning to speak to your heart as we consider three things that came to pass in this chapter before us. Number one, the first thing we notice that came to pass is we see the grief of the famine. The grief of the famine. We see this in verses 1 through 8. Let's read this together. The famine was sore in the land. It came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt,
Their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you, speaking about Benjamin. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore doubt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, The man asketh straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? We told him, according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me. We will arise and go, get this, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. These people we see here in these verses open up with these words that the famine was sore in the land. That word sore there means to be grievous. That's where I get the word grief. It means to be great. It means to be hard. It means to be heavy. This means that this particular famine that began in chapter 42, if you will, it wasn't getting any better, but rather it was growing worse. And because of this grievous famine, the corn that these brothers got from Joseph on their first trip was depleted, and their families now had another great need. Jacob tells his sons to go back to Egypt to buy more corn for them, but Judah speaks up, his son Judah, and told his father that they will not go down to Egypt unless Benjamin goes with them, because Joseph, they didn't know it was Joseph, but the Lord of the land had told him that they could not see his face anymore unless Benjamin was with them. Israel wondered why his boys had told Joseph that they had another brother. And the sons told him how Joseph had asked them specific questions, with one being if they had another brother. And Judah told him how Joseph, they didn't know it's Joseph at this time, but told him how Joseph had asked them specific questions about this. And Judah told his father, said, Send Benjamin with me so that we may live. In other words, we see that this famine was so grievous that it was now a matter of life or death. If they did not go down to Egypt, they would suffer and starve and die of hunger. Get this. Boy, I pray the Holy Spirit helps you see this. Glory, help me see this. The famine God used to force their hand. Stay with me here. There was only one logical thing for them to do. This famine brought them to the point that the only way they could survive is if they go back to Egypt. Are you with me so far, friends? Now, as we consider this grievous famine, here's the point that the Lord brought out in my study. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit help you see it. Get this. God was forcing Jacob into a blessing by starving him first. Stay with me, friends. This was an awful famine. This was one that threatened the very lives of Jacob and his family. However, we know the end of the story, and we know that this famine was a blessing in disguise, in which God was using this same famine to bring Jacob and his family into great blessing that they had no idea about. So I ask you today, are you living in a time of great famine? Are you going through a famine that is very grievous, that is very hard, that's very heavy? Are you in a time that can even threaten your life? If you are a child of God, glory. If you're a child of God, and if your heart is right with Him, that grievous famine can be a blessing in disguise that God has brought into your life to bring you to a time of blessing that you never even thought was possible. It can end up being the best thing that ever happened to you? What do you think Jacob would say about the famine on the other side, friends? What do you think he would say about the famine when he finally realized what God was doing all along and he was going to be reunited with Joseph, the one he thought was dead for 20 years? On that side of the famine, Joseph would look at it and say, "Oh, how wrong I was. I thought all those things were against me. But I see now that all those things were for me." The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Number one, we see the grief of the famine came to pass. Number two, or this is another thought that God helped me see. We see, secondly, not only the grief of the famine, but number two, we see the giving up of Jacob. The giving up of Jacob. We see this in verse 9 and following. Notice this. Judah is speaking to his father, trying to convince him to turn loose of Benjamin. Here's what he says in verse 9. "I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel," that's Jacob, "Israel, said unto them," notice his language now, "if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand." Peradventure it was an oversight. Notice verse 13. Oh, this must have torn his heart out right here, friends. He said, "Take also your brother and arise. Go again unto the man." God Almighty. Oh, there's a battle going on here, friends. His flesh, his spirit. He says, "God Almighty, give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your older brother," that's Simeon and Benjamin. Notice this. "If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." Boy, the Lord brought out a great thought here. You know, sometimes I preach like I'm swinging from the chandeliers. Sometimes God, the Holy Spirit, just calms my heart. He's calming my heart because he's convicting me. Judah was speaking to his daddy. And he told him, said, "Send Benjamin with me. I'll be a surety for him." In other words, he's saying, "Daddy, if Benjamin doesn't come back, you blame me forever." This famine was so great that God made this decision the only logical decision for Jacob. See, God had backed Jacob into a corner. He knows how to do that, you know. I want to listen in as Jacob speaks during this time of great famine. And get this. His prized possession, Benjamin, is now hanging in the balance. Jacob told his sons to take of the best fruits in the land and take a present to the Lord of the land in Egypt, not knowing it was Joseph he was talking about all along. He then told him to take double money because, see, they had all brought their money back and they thought that wasn't a good thing. So he said, take the money that we owe, that they thought, and take more money. And he speaks concerning Benjamin. Get this. The one he did not want to turn loose of. The one he did not want to let out of his sight. The one that with Joseph gone is now the son of his right hand. And during this famine, here's what he said. "Take also your brother and arise. Go again unto the man." Oh, and by the way, God Almighty give you mercy before Him. The words God Almighty is El Shaddai. He's saying the God of power, the sufficient one, the covenant God of promises, give you mercy before the man. That He may send away your other brother in Benjamin. And He made this statement, if I be bereaved of my children, then I'm bereaved. This was a statement like Queen Esther, you see, whenever she realized that she had to go in to see the king to risk her own life. And she made this statement, if I perish, I perish. Here's what Jacob was saying. Glory. Jacob was saying, this famine is so hard, and this famine is so grievous, and this famine is so heavy. I give up. I surrender all. I take my hands off. Benjamin was the one son he didn't want to surrender. Benjamin was the one memory that he had from his dear wife who had died in childbirth. Joseph was the other one, you see, but he thought Joseph was gone. Now Benjamin was the apple of his eye. But this grievous famine brought Jacob to the point, get this, that he would either hold on to Benjamin and starve his family, or he would surrender Benjamin and receive the blessing of God waiting in the land of Egypt. Notice when he gave Benjamin up, Jacob cast himself on God. Because see, folks, there was nothing left to cling to. The point here is sometimes, get this, the point here is sometimes it takes a famine to bring us to the place of full surrender. I want to ask you a question. Who is your Benjamin? What is your Benjamin? Until you let go and cast yourself completely upon God, you will not receive the blessing that He desires to bring in your life. Friends, get this. Reunion with Joseph and sustenance in Egypt in the middle of a famine is waiting just ahead for those who say, I give up. I surrender. By the way, because Jacob surrendered Benjamin, he was allowed to keep him. Did you hear what I just said? Because Jacob surrendered Benjamin, he was able to keep him. Because see, if he had selfishly kept his hands on Benjamin, no, I will not yield, he was condemning Benjamin to starvation. And he was condemning others in the family to a death by hunger. Spurgeon put it this way, Abraham was allowed to keep Isaac because he was willing to part with him at the divine bidding. And so Israel received Benjamin again because after some struggling, he at last agreed to the Lord's will. Friends, we sing that song, I Surrender All. Do you really mean it? Do I really mean it? May I say this to you? God knows who and what our Benjamin is. I don't want him to have to bring a famine for me to surrender. I want to surrender now. Because, friends, God is wonderful at bringing His children to a corner and putting them, their back is against the wall, and there's only one thing they can do. And they will either give up Benjamin and really see what God was doing all along, or they will hold on to Benjamin and suffer loss and blame God the rest of their life. There's a holy hush in this auditorium. Have you really given up? Have you really surrendered all? Let me give you a third thing that came to pass. Not only the grief of the famine and the giving up of Jacob, but now we see number three, the goodness of Joseph. The goodness of Joseph. The brothers took Benjamin and their gift, and they went back to the land of Egypt where they stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin, we can only imagine the memory of lost years that he must have felt. Joseph had been wronged. There's no question about that. Joseph had been cheated. Joseph had been sold by these wicked brothers over 20 years ago. And now here these ungodly, wicked brothers stand before him, seeking food from him, not knowing who he is. Again, Joseph, get this, had it in his power to take revenge. He could have given them what they deserved. However, when we read through this, let's notice what Joseph did. You know what he did? He extended goodness to them. By the way, if you know anything about Scripture, who is Joseph a picture of? Jesus Christ. So as we travel through the goodness of Joseph here, it came to pass. What did? The goodness of Joseph came to pass. As we travel through that, and I bring out these three things he did for his brothers when they didn't deserve it, let us think of ourselves and what Jesus has done for us when we didn't deserve it either. Number one, under this, get this, he brought them to his home. Let me show this to you. Look at verse 15. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." And the man did as Joseph bade them, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, "Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, all we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses." And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, "Oh, sir, we came indeed down the first time to buy food. It came to pass when we came to the end that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand, and other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks." And he said, "Peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." And he brought Simeon out unto them. The man brought the men into Joseph's house, gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. They made ready the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. See, the first thing that shows the goodness of Joseph is that he brought his brothers home to him. See, Joseph, upon seeing his brothers, told the ruler of the house, he says, "Bring them to my house in order that they can eat with me." Even though these brothers misunderstood what was going on, in verses 18 to 23, we see, now get this. Here's the major thought right here that he brought them home. Here it is. We see Joseph's desire here to bring his brothers closer than they ever thought they would get to him. Let me say that again. During this famine, when his daddy gave up, surrendered it all, they go down. They are fearing for their life. They don't know what's going to take place. It is a famine. They don't understand what's taking place, but God does. Joseph says, bring them home. They had no idea how close Joseph was going to let them get. Anybody know where I'm going with that, friend? Anybody know where I'm going with that thought right there? Secondly, I'm going to apply this here in a minute. Secondly, he not only brought them home, but secondly, he talked with them. We see this in verses 26 to 30. Boy, this is deep. Hey, he talked with these brothers. But what a great thought comes out here. Look at verse 26. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand in the house, bowed themselves to him to the earth, and he asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well, the old man of whom you spake? Is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He's yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. He lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin and his mother's son and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. He sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. See, when Joseph came home from his duties, they bowed themselves to the earth before him. He then began to speak with them about their father. They told him how Jacob was alive and in good health. They again bowed down their heads and made obeisance. Joseph then lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin. Oh, how his heart must have been bursting within. The memory of lost years that had taken, they had been taken from him unjustly. He asked them if this was Benjamin. And then he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. He had to hurry up at that moment and go into a chamber because the Bible says his bowels did yearn upon his brother. He sought where he could weep, where he could lose it. He was about to lose it. He was weeping. He was crying. He had to get in seclusion so as not to give out his identity yet. And he entered into the chamber and wept there. The point that the Lord brought out to me here is how Joseph, when he came to his house and saw his brothers who had done him so wrong, do you realize that he could have refused to speak a word to them? He could have come into the house and refused to see them, refused to speak to them. But it's interesting that Joseph desired to commune with them instead. He talked with them. And he allowed them freely to talk back to him. Anybody know where I may be going with that thought? Number three. This is just his goodness, the goodness of Joseph. He brought them home. He brought them closer than they ever thought they'd get to the Lord of the land. He spoke to them. He didn't ignore them. He wanted to sit down with them. He wanted to speak to them. He wanted them to speak to him. He wanted to know about them. He wanted to learn more about them. He wanted to share with them how much he's interested in what's interesting to them. Number three, we see he not only brought them home and talked to them, but number three, he satisfied them. We see this in verse 31 and following. Notice it. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messages unto them from before him. In other words, he had what they needed. He had what would satisfy them, you see. And he started sending it out to them. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Joseph hurried up and went into an inner chamber just so he could weep and cry. Don't know how long he was in there, but he got it all out. He washed his face, refrained himself, come back out and said, let's eat. Let's eat. He sat in one place. These brothers sat in another place in order from the oldest to the youngest, and the Egyptians sat in another place. The Bible says these brothers marveled one at another. In verse 34, we see Joseph took and sent messes unto them from before him. Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. Could it be he was testing them to see if they were still jealous of the youngest? I don't know. They drank and were merry with him. The point here is while the world was going through a terrible famine, awful famine, Joseph took his brothers into his own home, communed with them, and feasted them to the point that they were completely satisfied. Now let's apply this right here. I want to apply it in two ways. First of all, the goodness of our Lord. We know that Joseph is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And just as Joseph brought these brothers who had wronged him closer than they ever thought possible, in the same way, Jesus, whom we have wronged, so desires to bring us closer to Him than we ever thought possible. And many times He uses the grief of a famine to do it. Just as Joseph was willing to come into his home and to spend time with them and talk with them and let them talk to him freely, and he wanted to commune with them and have fellowship with them, even so Jesus wants to have sweet fellowship with his children. And many times it is so much sweeter when you're going through a famine. Number three, under this, just as Joseph satisfied them while the world is suffering for hunger and basically just scrounging around, he is sending messages from him to his children who are in his house, who are communing with him. And he's feeding them and taking care of them until while there's a grievous famine going on, we can be merry at the table of Jesus Christ. Let me apply it in a second way. The goodness we should have toward others. Even as Joseph extended goodness to these brothers who did not deserve it, let us follow his example. The Lord is not pleased when we want others to get what is coming to them. I just wish they'd get what's coming to them. You better be glad God doesn't feel that same way about you, my friend. And just as Joseph showed mercy to those who did not deserve it, let all of God's children extend mercy and grace to those who have wronged us, just as He has extended mercy to us who have wronged Him. Ephesians 4:30-32, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. In this chapter, we see three things coming to pass. We see the grief of the famine that made this situation a matter of life and death. We see the giving up of Jacob, that his back was pressed against the wall, and he's brought to the point, will he hold on to that boy and even kill him in the process? Or will he give up and take his hands off? Surrender it all and take his chances with God. We see the goodness of Joseph, that when these brothers who had wronged him and treated him so wickedly and so ungodly, they're standing before him. He has it in his power to take revenge. He could easily say, I'm going to give them what they deserve. But yet he brought them home to his house. He let them get closer than they've ever been to him. Hey, he talked with them there. He communed with them there. And he sat them down at his table and he flooded them with sustenance. I ask you this question. What is God saying to you right now? Is he saying that famine that's sucking the life out of you is not against you? It's for you. Is he saying, there's your Benjamin? If you hold on to him, you'll never learn what I had for you. But if you'll trust me and surrender all, even though you can't see it right now. Joseph, it's just a hit. Is he speaking to you because you've come in here and in your heart you don't know that you're saved, you don't know that you're a born-again believer, you don't know that heaven's your home, and maybe God is speaking to you and saying, hey, I want to bring you home with me. I want to make it possible where I can talk to you and you can talk to me. I want to satisfy you and give you what you're searching for. Or maybe he's talking to somebody that you've been wronged. Somebody stabbed you in the back and it feels like it hurts everywhere. You take a step, it's excruciating pain. And the devil just tries to get you to focus on it and focus on it, focus on it. Maybe God's saying, listen, I was merciful to you. But just in case you're saying, I know you're God, wait a minute. What about my child, Joseph? He had 20 years ripped out of his heart. He had his brother taken away, his father taken away, his freedom stripped, all because of hatred, wickedness. And yet when he saw those brothers, God had so worked in his heart that he said, I will not try to punish. I will rather bless them. I don't know what God's saying to you, but I know this. He speaks every time the Word of God is opened. And he's trying to say something to all of us. May our answer be, yes, sir. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you and thank you for this service. Thank you for this message. And I pray that you help us this morning. Help me to draw the net. Help me this morning to understand what you want me to say. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I ask you some questions this morning. Are you in God's family? Do you know this God Almighty who can take the great famines of the world and turn them into great blessings for his children? Do you know him? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Are you in his family? If not, come, let us take a Bible and share with you how you can be saved and how you can be a born again child of God. Question number two. If you're saved, are you going through a famine? Is there a grievous famine that has hit your life? It could even be just like this one, a matter of life and death. Well, maybe it's just a matter of trust and doubt. Question three. Do you need to surrender your Benjamin? Do you need to give up your Benjamin? Question 4. Do you need to show goodness to somebody who has wronged you? Listen to me, please. It takes a very small person to respond in the flesh. It takes a large person in Christianity to turn the other cheek. Follow the example of God and say, even though they deserve it, I will show mercy and grace. I will show goodness. However God is speaking, respond. Respond. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Father, take this thought, use it in a great way. Challenge us from your word. Speak to us, I pray. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If you need to be saved, come. That famine could be drawing you to Jesus. If you have a famine, you're a child of God. As far as you know, your heart's right, but there's a famine hit you. Come, talk to God about it. Hey, Joseph could be in your future. Hey, freedom could be in your future. If you need to come and ask God to help you show grace to somebody, or if you need to come take your hands off of Benjamin to give up, surrender all, as Brother Gary sings, you come. As he sings, come now. Right now is your time. Right now is your time.
All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Sing it if you mean it.
I surrender all.
Don't you sing it if you don't mean it. Playing through softly, you can look this way. Some folks have responded. We'll give them some time. Let me help you with what I'm trying to get across today. Famines come to everybody. I don't care who you are. When famines come, one of three things is true. Number one, God uses famines to draw lost people to the foot of Calvary. Number two, God uses famines to chastise his disobedient children, to bring them back to the point where he can bless them. Number three, God is testing his children. They are right with him, their heart's right with him, but he wants you to take the next step spiritually. He wants to bless you more than you ever thought possible. He wants to reunite you with Joseph. Give you freedom in the land of Egypt and bless you more than you ever thought possible. This message is number three. Joseph right with God. Jacob battling, but his heart's right with God. Giving up Benjamin. And his God has got him on the road that'll lead him the blessings he never thought possible. Make sense what I'm saying? That's where we're at now. In our progress through Genesis, there's more to come. I'm enjoying this journey. Brother Gary, if you'll sing one more stanza, let's all bow our heads just one more time. If nobody else comes, we'll be through. But I want to give you another opportunity as he sings. Come now, please.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender.
As you leave today, let me remind you of a couple of things. The beans and cornbread supper is available out there for sign up. The Wild Beast Feast flyers available to help us get the word out. The children's books are available out there. Please help us with that. Take advantage of these. If you are a guest and you fill out a visitor's card, please take it out to the Welcome Center. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. Let's pray we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Help us, Lord, to truly surrender all. May the will of God be done now as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Be back tonight. Bible prophecy tonight. You be back tonight, please.